Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the annual Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. Melinda North and Phil Eisenberg from the Cathedral Office join us. We're going to talk about some of Phil's experiences that have been funded through the years by the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, different ministries, of course. And Melinda will talk about all the work that goes into the appeal and the product of it. Jean Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, Father Tim Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. But do you gird your loins? Stand up and tell them all that I command you. Be not crushed on their account, as though I would leave you crushed before them. For it is I this day who have made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, a wall of brass, against the whole land, against Judah's kings and princes, against its priests and people. They will fight against you, but not prevail over you, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, it is not pompous, it is not inflated, it is not rude, it does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered, it does not brood over injury, it does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When he became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially. Then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, love remain these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue, saying, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him, and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zephirath, in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, abortion has been prominent in the news cycle for most of January as many state legislatures scrambled to get various measures passed near the anniversary of the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, and controversy still swirled about an incident between young March for Life attendees and marchers at another demonstration in Washington. Lawyer Thomas Breggia, president and chief counsel for the pro-life Thomas More Society, gave a telephone interview to Catholic News Service to discuss the current legal landscape surrounding abortion, how current court and legislative battles fit into that landscape, and his hopes for the pro-life movement going forward. Quoting, "We have to be as aggressive as possible on many fronts as possible," Breggia said, noting how legal precedent indicates the abortion issue has been anything but settled since Roe v. Wade, which was decided in 1973. In the past year, Breggia noted, the pro-life movement has lost some key battles but scored a significant victory with the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. Breggia expressed high hopes for Kavanaugh, calling him very qualified, and told CNS that the new justice had hired a woman from Yale Law Students for Life as a clerk. Kavanaugh, a former D.C. Circuit judge who was nominated to the bench, the High Court, by President Donald Trump in May of 2018, proved to be a polarizing figure as the interests of both pro-lifers and supporters of legal abortion recognized he would provide a swing vote that could overturn standing abortion precedent. From a Catholic perspective, Christian churches and denominations are closer than ever after 50 years of ecumenical exchange, engagement that is, and dialogue, even if the overall picture of Christian unity today may look sad, as doctrinal disagreements lead to more schisms. This was Atonement Father James Lauren's message at a prayer service in Garrison, New York recently. The priest, who is director of the Graymore Ecumenical and Interreligious Institute, preached at one of 8 ecumenical prayer services held to mark the January 18th through 25th week of prayer for Christian unity. Building up relationships across denominational lines is vital if we are to grow with ecumenical hearts and not only ecumenical heads, he said. If we love one another, we have to be able to appreciate diversity. Dialogue continues between the Catholic Church and leaders of the Orthodox, Methodist, Lutheran, Reformed, Presbyterian, Baptist churches, and other denominations, he said. Enthusiasm for ecumenism is not as vigorous in the United States as it was 40 years ago when it was new and exciting, Father Lauren told Catholic News Service. This is because we don't depend on God for the ecumenical movement as we should, he told CNS. A throng of upbeat pro-life supporters, some from as far away as Colorado, Arizona, and Tennessee, swarmed the streets of downtown San Francisco recently, carrying a wide array of messages calling for an end to abortion. A crowd in the tens of thousands poured into Civic Center Plaza on a spring-like winter day for the 15th annual Walk for Life West Coast, which marked the 46th commemoration of the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion. The event kicked off with prayer, pro-life speakers, and the amplified fetal heartbeats of 7 babies whose mothers stood on the event stage holding bullhorns connected to their pregnant bellies. "Baby saving baby," said Walk for Life chair Eva Montien. "The babies are here to save their peers. A woman allowed to see an image of her unborn baby on an ultrasound screen or to hear its heartbeat will often choose not to abort," pro-life advocates say and articulate. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Good, Gene. Thanks so much for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Melinda North, who runs the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal operation each and every year for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Also, Phil Eisenberg, who is the business manager at the Cathedral of St. Joseph here in Sioux Falls, joins us this morning. We're going to talk about the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. Good to have you both here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Really good to be here.
So this happens every year. And, you know, in essence, every program we do on Catholic Views, we're talking about the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal because it supports us, right?
It's
kind of how we are able to do the things we do.
Throughout the whole church.
Throughout the whole church, right?
Yeah. And Phil's joining us this morning in large part because I see benefits of Catholic Family Sharing Appeal just because of the nature of my job, mm-hmm. but not everybody sees the product of it. And Phil is just one of thousands of products of the ministries of the church. So it's just really exciting. We're so blessed that he and his wife Grace shared their story this year and kind of their journey through the ministries and how it impacted their lives.
We wanted to have this program on in particular about now because people are going to be receiving their bishop's bulletins and they're going to they're going to see exactly what you're talking about, and in part with Phil and Grace in that story. And it's a tale of discipleship, which I think is so critical these days to our church. You know, we all wonder what we can do. We all wonder what our money is doing when we give our money. We all wonder how do we help share the faith, you know, deepen our own faith and help others. And I think that's I hope it demonstrates that for people this year.
I hope it does too. That's the goal.
Yeah. And I know, Phil, for you, that's a meaningful thing.
It is. It's extremely meaningful. Thinking about Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, one of the things, I'm glad you mentioned where I work, Cathedral of St. Joseph, because I had the opportunity with this year's appeal to talk about what it meant to me growing up and all the different ways it's been impactful to my life. But right now, really, Catholic Views on the radio and on television or on the Sunday TV Mass is one of the biggest ways at the parish level that I am seeing the benefits of Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. So to break it down just for a minute, we do get, you know, a lot of mailings from people who are so grateful to watch it, and they usually send it to us, and I'm sending it upstairs to you guys. But even our own cathedral parishioners, because they are in some ways a little bit more keenly aware of it, we had a lady who just had surgery, and in her recovery time of a few months, you know, she sent us a note and a donation, which is really great, but she said, "Hey, I've really been enjoying the TV Mass. I've never needed it before, and it was there." And I'm like, yes, like that is why I was like so excited just, you know, to hear that, because I sometimes think even at the cathedral parish where we have the TV Mass that it's somewhat disjointed, but even our parishioners were there and, you know, are just aren't benefiting from it. And therefore, it's the whole diocese, it's the whole state, right? It goes out to
the TV Mass.
Yeah,
the
TV Mass goes out to the whole state.
So. Actually, beyond.
Yeah, and beyond.
Because it's in the Kelloland viewing area.
Yeah, yeah. So it gets into the whole region, which is a beautiful
Phil
thing.
Shared some of the notes with me, and I thought it was just beautiful. She said, because I was prohibitive of being around anybody, I still have this.
Yes.
She didn't say this. You could just read in the note that she had this longing to be a part of it and to be able to tune in and see the cathedral. Just brought an enormous amount of peace to her. So that's just one story of many, too, of people who don't think they're going to need it. But when they do, it's there and available in part by the support of Catholic Family Sharing Appeal.
Yeah, absolutely. Melinda, maybe say a word about this year's appeal. You know, it does come around every year. Maybe people are familiar with it. Maybe they're not. So talk a little bit about, you know, the broader, if you will, of what Catholic Family Sharing Appeal is and why we do it.
You know, Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, as Catholics and as Christians, really, we're all called to give back. You know, we're all called to recognize that everything we are and everything we have is a gift from God. And when we do, He resonates that desire in us to give back. And there's many, many generous people out there who give on a weekly basis to their parish and to their needs in their community. Catholic Family Sharing Appeal is the one time every year that the entire diocese comes together to support the ministries of the church and, in essence, allow Bishop to continue to do the works within the diocese. So one holy and apostolic church is not only evident on the weekends, every weekend when you go to Mass, but in this one time that we come together to do that. And the ministries, there's many, many ministries that are in part supported through Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. A couple of them we've highlighted in the Bishop's Bulletin this month, and so many more that are on the website that if you ever can and you're ever interested to see how your money is making an impact, I'd always suggest people go to sfcatholic.org. Not only is the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal support our communications office within the diocese where we can spread this good news, do the TV Mass and things like that, but we also have the ability to share the works that are going on as well. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of information out there on the website and in our Bishop's Bulletin.
I'm glad you mentioned the One Holy Apostolic Catholic Church because, you know, we proclaim that every Sunday, don't we, in the Creed. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we often stop and think about what that really means. Mm-hmm. But I love how the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, I think, absolutely connects us to each of the words that we say in that creed. Well, we're professing what we believe. Well, here's a way to live it out by participating in the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal.
Right. I think the most beautiful and impactful notes that I get, because I get a few responses with little notes written on them, are from, and you can tell they're older because of the shakiness in their hand and how they write, but...
Actually, it's the fact that they are writing.
They are writing,
Anymore.
Yeah, they could be.
Sadly, that's off topic, sorry.
But it's beautiful because they just say things like, my prayers are with you, and unfortunately, all I can give is this meager gift. And I think those gifts that are so sacrificial make the biggest impact in reality. And the truth of the matter is when we all come together, we can do far more than any one person or parish can do for our diocese. So it's just even the prayers, as Bishop always says, your prayers are priceless. It's true. I have to tell you too, one of the things that we did last year on recommendation from one of our priests, was to collect prayer intentions. Mm-hmm. You know, we always ask for prayers for the people, but we need to start asking what their prayers are so we can continue to pray. And just a beautiful response to that, too. I can't tell you the number. I can tell you it was a small box full of prayer cards that we got that I was able to take over to the Perpetual Adoration Sisters, who were delighted because their job is to pray for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. So just a beautiful response to that piece of the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal as well.
Talk just for a second, if you would, and we're gonna get back to Phil and talk about some of the aspects of the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal supported ministries. But say a word about the mechanics of it, if you would, because the reason, of course, we're talking about it is that the appeal is approaching and people are going to be seeing letters and whatnot.
Absolutely. So we try to kick it off at all of the parishes on one weekend, and that kickoff weekend is set for February 23rd and 24th. So the end of February, you'll hopefully start hearing messages within your parishes from your priests. The following Monday, you'll get a letter in the mail from Bishop Swain asking you for your support and prayerful support of Catholic Family Sharing Appeal. And it's very easy to respond. You can return it to your parish in the collection basket. You can put it in the mail to your parish. You can go online if your parish has online giving capabilities. We encourage people to do that. If they don't, you can go to sfcatholic.org in the CFSA website and give to your parish through the diocesan website as well. Or new to the diocese this year is a little thing called My Parish App. And if you have a smartphone and you know what an app is, I'd encourage you to download it, because every parish, if they have online giving, will have a link where you can do it right from your phone. If your parish doesn't, you can go to the diocesan piece of the My Parish app and give through that as well. So very convenient to give.
Yeah, lots of different ways. They all lead to one end, and that is to support the work of the church in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. You know, that's who we are, again, as Catholics. We're structured in that way. We're all part of a parish, but that parish is part of a diocese, and it's the diocesan operation that we're talking about here, the ministries, again, that, you know, we can do together so much more efficiently than we can do distinctly. And Phil, I know you see that at the parish level now in a whole different way than you might have when you were a kid growing up and enjoying all of these different ministries.
Yeah, no, I would. So I think, it's one of those things where just in thinking about what CFSA or the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal represents, it is something where, having had that great experience for so many years in the different ministries at the parish level on the day to day, it's easy in some ways where I'm at in my life, you know, to kind of see where people could be fitting into these ministries. One of the examples I think I used was, I did spend some time in seminary, and so when you get these young men in our parish who are, you know, active in serving, or they kind of are at the age now where they're starting to attend youth events, which is also a part of the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal, you start to see that that sort of growing, just the deepening of their faith, and then kind of out of that, they usually can be kind of fostered to be more active in the parish, and then they desire that service. And out of that it's a wellspring in some ways if you can kind of connect and say, have you considered priesthood? Have you considered a religious vocation? because that's where your whole life is given to the church. And it is such a beautiful ministry. So sometimes even just standing in the parish office, you can start to see that unfold. Blessed in some way at the Cathedral Parish because we're kind of a catch-all for Summit for the non-traditional. I had the opportunity to meet Mitchell McLaughlin this past over the Christmas break, the kind of extended winter break for
who's a seminarian for the diocese right now.
Yep, correct. He's a seminarian for us, and he believes he's from Iowa. I know I'm fairly certain, but he's kind of jumped into the cathedral for our home parish, and
right.
It makes sense from sort of a logistical standpoint, but. Awesome young man. He really is there. And he went on. So again, the neat thing about seminaries, he got to experience here on his break even. He's not just kind of hanging out playing video games. He was visiting the sick with the priests. He
yeah.
was attending daily mass. He was visible to the parish. And so he was kind of actively engaged in his seminary life, which prepares you for priestly life. And by the gifts of Catholic Family Sharing Appeal is what allows all this. And mm-hmm. so, yes, I do still get to see it kind of day to day at the parish level.
Yeah, and you also experience, because of your work, your particular position, you see the mechanics of all this work and the different ways. It is fascinating to me, all the different ways that people can donate now.
Yep.
And that's helpful to people, isn't it?
It is. Oh, it's really helpful. It's actually kind of neat sometimes where I'll see someone who's given very regularly through the parish, but then they've just decided to do it online this year. It was more convenient for them. Love it. Yeah, that's again, convenience is not always a bad thing. It's a great thing in this case. And so, yeah, it's just, and there's such a great response. I think sometimes seeing the business side of it, I can get a little, in how long it takes maybe to reach our goal every year. But if I flip it, people generously respond right away in February, most typically. I mean, we're hitting a high percentage of our goal, and it might take a few months to collectively get it and to turn it up to the diocese to support them, but it's actually really quick. I think people are ready to respond to CFSA every year. At least that's what it feels like on the parish side. We're seeing it.
It's been interesting to watch when you talk about the transactional side of it. The immediate response is those people that are electronic and have that capability as they're thinking about it. I'm not electronic, and so I'm one of those people who I'm going to do this. I'm going to set it on my desk, and it sits there for a month, maybe 2 months and 3 months where, I have great intentions, but I forget about it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of when you struggle to raise the money and to get it to come in. That's part of the challenge too. Mm-hmm. So having that easeability now of the electronic capabilities it's a huge blessing.
It is, and I would share one more kind of fun caveat that we had at the cathedral this year, and I'm sure many parishes do experience this. I would also say I'm encouraged because I don't think people are, for those who say don't respond, I don't think they're actually forgetting about it. We do receive like first time and recurring gifts that are not scheduled. Mm-hmm. Later in the year, I received one in January, early January, but it was for last year. He still had it. Mm-hmm. He still wanted to give. And maybe, I don't know if taxes or just a new calendar year made all the difference, but he still gave. And like, I'm like, right. I was ready. I was like, wait, these haven't gone out yet for the 2019. I had to kind of figure it out. But I mean, that's encouraging. Like I really,
I can't, people will see this when they see Bishop's message this year. He made particular note about the generosity of the people of this diocese. In his years as the bishop here, as everyone knows, he's, waiting for his retirement to take place with a successor being named. Hasn't happened yet. So, but he made special note this year to thank people for their ongoing and continued generosity. Frankly, it's a hallmark, I think, of the people of this diocese, the generous way that they respond.
An enduring memory is what he called it.
Yeah.
And I can't help but imagine that it is truly moving for him to be able to provide the support to our seminarians that we do. I'm not sure there's a lot of dioceses that are able to do that because of the generosity of our people and our parishioners here. It's one of the things that our diocese has been able to do for the last few years, which is a beautiful, beautiful testament to the faith.
We only have about 3 minutes left this morning, I wanted to talk about discipleship a little bit more because that's kind of what we built the story around this year is this whole idea of discipleship. And Phil and Grace, Grace not able to be with us this morning, but Phil's wife Grace was part of the video that I hope people get a chance to see because I think it tells the story nicely. But discipleship, Phil, for you and Grace both through your growing up years, it was just critical, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, she had the opportunity to grow up in some ways around a Newman Center culture.
Right.
Her mother worked for the Aberdeen Newman Center. And so growing up in that, you know, she was kind of formed as a child, and then but it was so easy to make that jump into the different youth events that foster that discipleship mentality. She was able to go to youth conferences and discipleship camp by name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then out of that, you know, she did Totus Tuus and was ministering to each of the parishes in our diocese that are able to be a part of that program. And, you know, in my own case, I was able to go to a lot of them too. I didn't do Totus Tuus myself, but I know it was, they would all say, if any of those former Totus Tuus people are listening, it's a trying summer. It's a hard summer.
Yeah.
But there's so much formation available to you. There's so much growth. But it's not about you. It's about the parishes, the kids you're ministering to. They're the ones that, if you can get through that, if you can offer that up, the graces, the development, the discipleship for these youth, it's really unparalleled, I'd say, in almost any program in our diocese. It's
and meeting Christ. One thing leads into the other. That's what I love. There's a continuum, yeah, if you will, starting with Totus Tuus, leading all the way through, mm-hmm, to Newman Center and then into parish life after,
right,
people move on from there.
One of the beautiful things that Grace talked about when we did the interview was, you know, Phil was a seminarian, and even though God led him to discern out and discern that married life was for him, she's benefiting from the beauty of what he learned in the discipleship that was, you know, evolved over that time through, yeah, Phil, and what a parent he's going to make when they do have children, God willing, someday, and the discipleship that he does now and his work and everything has been very impactful.
Yeah. Yep.
There's so much more we could say and would love to say as part of this conversation about the Catholic Family Sharing Appeal for 2019. Again, I hope people get a chance to see the video. That'll be out probably soon.
It'll be out the 23rd and 24th is when on the kickoff weekend. And if your parish isn't able to play it or your pastor chooses not to, it will be out on the website at sfcatholic.org/CFSA.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah. Phil Eisenberg, Melinda North, thanks so much for being with us today on Catholic Views.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gene, talking about CFSA always makes me think about Lent, and of course, Lent not that far away from us.
No, not really. It's a good time to start.
A lot of confirmations going on.
Exactly. You could take a step back and plan ahead for Lent, the start of Lent, which will be here before we know it.
Yeah, a lot of confirmations going on as well this,
yep,
time of year. The bishop's out on the road.
Very
busy.
Catholic
Schools Week a little bit dampened because of the weather,
yep,
but I know our school still had a wonderful, wonderful week of celebrating with their students.
It's a good opportunity to take a step back and evaluate where you are.
Yeah, true. That's a way to get ready for Lent, for sure. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. Please join us again next Sunday.